Welcome to Conservation Conversations, the podcast where we explore the challenges and triumphs of biodiversity conservation. I'm your host, Ann Bowser, Interim President of NatureServe, and today we're bringing you a special episode recorded from the Biodiversity Without Boundaries Conference. This biannual gathering brings together species conservation professionals from across the NatureServe network and our partner organizations to discuss the pressing issues facing biodiversity conservation and share innovative strategies for tackling them. Biodiversity Without Boundaries isn't just a conference, it's a meeting of minds, a gathering of passionate individuals dedicated to protecting our planet's rich diversity of life. Today, we will be sitting down with five members of the NatureServe network to hear about the challenges they face and what gives them hope for the future. Our first guest is Joe Rocchio, manager of the Washington Natural Heritage Program, whose program was instrumental in hosting the Biodiversity Without Boundaries program in Seattle this year.
I've been with the NatureServe Natural Heritage Network for quite a long time now. Next month will be 25 years. And in that time, I've really come to see how important the network is to the work that we do, both on a personal level as well as for our individual programs. And Biodiversity Without Boundaries is an opportunity for us to get together, to learn from each other, to share with each other, to reconnect with old friends, to meet new friends, pull our sleeves up, and really tackle some challenges that we all collectively face in our efforts to generate data for critical biodiversity action. And whenever I give a presentation about the Washington Natural Heritage Program, which is quite a lot, I always include a few slides about NatureServe and the network, to really emphasize how key the network is for the work that we do. And having BWB here in Seattle is an opportunity for our partners to see just that. In fact, we have a few of our critical partners who are attending BWB. And so I'm so happy that they can see the power of the network. So maybe the most important reason that I was wanting to help bring BWB here to Seattle is for the benefit of our program staff. Our program has undergone a generational change in recent years. We've had longtime staff retire, and now over 50% of our staff has only been with the program less than 2 years. So I wanted them to have the opportunity to be here at BWB, to help lead field trips, to give presentations, and to meet their network colleagues so that they could see firsthand how important the network is to the success of the work that they do in their jobs, but also the success of the Washington Natural Heritage Program. And so that's just much easier when BWB is in your backyard.
Our next guest is Eleanor Gaines, director of the Oregon Biodiversity Information Center. Let's hear what she has to say about the potential of technology to revolutionize biodiversity conservation.
What I was most excited about at BWB was discussions we've been having about iNaturalist. So historically, heritage programs have been doing, there's 50, 60 some odd programs, and we've all been doing similar things, but repeating a lot of the work. And I really feel like we're at a moment where we can work together and be way more efficient. And I think iNaturalist is really going to help us with that. So I'm very excited. We often struggle to get our core heritage program work funded and completed. And I think this is just a way for us to be way more efficient and get the data that folks need.
Next up, we have Regan Smythe, Vice President for Conservation Data and Science at NatureServe. Regan shares her optimism about engaging new audiences in biodiversity conservation and the role of technology in advancing our efforts.
At the BWB conference, I have been really inspired and optimistic, really for two reasons. I think on one hand, we're seeing new audiences for the work we do. The NatureServe Network has long been engaged with federal land management agencies and doing work at the state level to have real conservation impact. But at this conference, I'm hearing a lot more from the corporate sector that's starting to understand the risks that biodiversity loss poses to their business and starting to ask, so what do we do to make sure that we're on a path to a nature positive future? I'm also really excited by the new technologies we've been talking about. Technology has long been core to the work that NatureServe does as a biodiversity informatics organization. It's part and parcel of the data and science and tech all go together to deliver on our mission. At this meeting, there's been a lot of talk about how artificial intelligence is already helping us do our job better and new applications that can continue that trend. Both those things, the new audiences and the new technology, I think are how we're going to address the biodiversity crisis. I mean, the bad news is the biodiversity crisis is pretty real. But what I'm taking away from these couple of days together is that by engaging these new audiences and engaging with this new technology, we really have an opportunity to do what we've long been doing, but to do it better and faster and at the pace that's necessary to meet the needs of today.
Our fourth guest is Chris Friesen, coordinator of the Manitoba Conservation Data Center and a member of NatureServe's board of directors. Chris discusses the importance of open data in promoting collaboration and facilitating access to conservation information.
We want to make sure that conservation information and data gets into the hands of the people who need to know it when they need to know it. Open data removes the barriers that some people or organizations may have to accessing data and information. One of the key platforms for us and for NatureServe, I think, is NatureServe Explorer. It's a great platform to make key information and data available whenever people need it to inform their conservation actions and mitigations. Open data allows people to access data when they need it, 24/7 via NatureServe Explorer. It gets data into the hands of decision makers early in their processes, whether it's environmental reviews, conservation planning, or other activities. It helps avoid costly delays later on in some of these processes if they have that information soon and early on. It enables mitigation planning when there might be effects on rare and endangered species. So open data promotes data availability and use by many different organizations and groups, not just those who have the time and the money to acquire it.
Finally, we'll hear from Bryce Maxwell, Program Coordinator at the Montana Natural Heritage Program and Chairman of the NatureServe Board. Bryce emphasizes the talent and dedication of individuals within the NatureServe Network and highlights the importance of giving voice to lesser-known species and habitats.
What makes me hopeful about biodiversity science right now is our network and our people and how talented a group of people we have across the 60 programs in our network in the US and Canada, and 1,000 people who are the best botanists and zoologists and ecologists and data managers and GIS people and web people anywhere in all of those jurisdictions. That's what our network is a group of really talented and dedicated people. And together, the way I like to tell people this is that the NatureServe Network gives a voice to species and habitats that they wouldn't have without us. And they give them a voice in all environmental review, permitting, and planning processes that occur across all the 50 states and the Canadian provinces and territories. And it's just essential that those species and habitats have a voice. Some of the neat things that I'm seeing here at our Biodiversity Without Boundaries conference are giving voice to rare species that aren't considered very often. Those include our bryophytes, our mosses, our liverworts, hornworts. They include our fungi. Some of those fungi work in partnership with algae and our lichens. And getting all of those species represented and just super inspiring on that front. Another thing that's been super inspiring is use of citizen science data. That could be from eBird, but we focused on this conference about using iNaturalist data. And iNaturalist is an amazing community platform for people to submit observations of any species that they're seeing in their local area. And then this worldwide community will help identify those species. And then what we're working on is mobilizing all of that information that's being gathered in iNaturalist to make conservation data products that can help ensure that those species persist over the long term. And so that's a super, super exciting collaboration there with the iNaturalist team. And then finally, I think one other thing that's really excited me about this conference is our predicted habitat suitability modeling for individual species. And traditionally, species were represented in those environmental review, permitting, and planning processes when there was an observation of a species. But in order to have an observation of a species present in those areas, you'd have to have a survey. And there aren't surveys that are done across wide swaths of the US and Canada. And so these predicted habitat suitability models help give species a voice in areas where there haven't been surveys and lead to surveys being performed and those species being detected and being represented. So that was also super exciting. But all of that takes super talented people, and this network is full of super talented people. So that's, I want to make sure that that is number one. People are number one, and we've got an amazing group of people.
As we come to the end of this episode and the end of the Conservation Conversations series, we want to thank all of our listeners for joining us on this journey. The stories that we've shared today are just a glimpse into the passion and dedication of the NatureServe Network and its partners. While this may be the last episode of our collection, our work continues, and we hope these stories inspire you to stay engaged in biodiversity conservation. Remember, you can always sign up for our newsletter or follow us on social media to stay connected with our stories and learn how you can make a difference. Together, we can ensure a brighter future for our planet and all its inhabitants. Before we wrap up, we want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to the sponsors of the Biodiversity Without Boundaries Conference, whose generous support has made this event possible. A big thank you goes out to our gold level sponsors, the Washington Natural Heritage Program, NatureServe Canada, Bartlett Tree Experts, and the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. We also want to express our appreciation to our silver level sponsors, the Virginia Natural Heritage Program, iNaturalist, Chevron, the Human Energy Company, ESRI, Sustainable Forestry Initiative, and Ramble. And last, but certainly not least, we'd like to acknowledge our bronze level sponsor, the Pennsylvania Natural Heritage Program. As we close, a few words from Bartlett Tree Experts.
Bartlett Tree Experts has been providing expert tree care for over 115 years and growing. Our services include pruning, fertilization, tree inspections, and insect and disease management. We bring a rare mix of groundbreaking science, award-winning safety practices, and global resources to every tree and shrub care task at hand. Discover how our passion for trees is inspiring one beautiful property after another. Learn more at bartlett.com.